first trophy with TFC. How's it feel?
Yeah, it was great. You know, that's why I came here, to obviously help the younger players and help the team and the club and the city achieve great things. And, you know, hopefully it's the first of many.
Match preview versus Columbus Crew.
Oh, yeah, it is the one and only trophy that Jermaine Defoe has won with TFC. And it's the Trillium Cup. Yeah, he didn't bring more than he was expected to. Bloody big deal and all that. First leg of the Trillium Cup coming up here in 2016. Tomorrow at BMO Field. I'm Dan Riccio. This is a TFC pitch side match preview as we get set to end this four-game homestand for the Reds. But first, let's recap Wednesday night's loss. No, it wasn't a loss. It was a tie. It was a draw to New York City FC. So, essentially, New York got what they came for, right? They came for a point. They were on short rest. They didn't play David Villa. They didn't play Andrea Pirlo. I know you were all pissed about that.
They did play David
Villa. Well, yeah. They didn't start David Villa. Thank you, producer Emil Delich. Didn't feel like he had much of an impact on the game, considering how he's destroyed TFC through their first four matchups. I mean, this was pretty tame to have David Villa only come on as a sub and in a game where you were just trying to lock down the draw, which New York did. So congratulations to them. They got what they came for. They go home, get set for the New York Derby this weekend with a point. The defense, I mean, as for a TFC perspective, the defense held up pretty fine. I mean, they were helped by David Villa not starting. The Poku goal was, I mean, it was a really nice goal and all that. It's kind of a carbon copy of how Morales scored the fourth Vancouver goal last Saturday, right? He's on the left side or, you know, the right side of TFC's defense, if you want to put it that way. And the defense doesn't close him down quick enough. He's allowed to take one, two, three touches before finally scoring the goal. That cannot happen if TFC want to do the things that they hope to accomplish this season. They got to close down quicker. Didn't like seeing that too much. Altidore, I thought he was missed, man. Like, TFC suffered to kind of get anything going through the middle. You saw even in the second half, Fanny kind of pushed Jovinko out to the far left, and Babouli was playing more on the right, and you had Tsubasa Endo doing some of the work, some of the dirty work in the middle of the field. And I felt that TFC really missed Altidore's physical presence in this game. They still had a ton of chances to score, but I did feel like there was a little bit something missing, especially early on before Vanny made the little tactical adjustments to how they used to play with Altidore and how they're going to have to play without him. And at the end of the day, I mean, we could complain all we want about the goal and about how things were missed, like Altidore and things like that. But at the end of the day, Josh Saunders was the difference. He really was. He made a lot of big saves. I think he ended up with six on the night. Jovinko had three shots on goal, didn't score any of them, and it was the first game that TFC scored a goal without Jovinko being involved. So it was a weird game. TFC probably should have got the 3 points, but not at the end of the day when you still get a point against an Eastern Conference rival, I guess, though you'd rather win it, especially on home turf. After the game, good friend Marco D'Onofrio does some stuff for us and did some more stuff for us this weekend. Talking to Mix Discarude. You can find the full thing on our YouTube page. But here's what Mix had to say after New York got the 1-1 draw with TFC.
I know you guys played a difficult game Sunday night in Portland. You travel across the continent, play today Wednesday, then you got a Saturday fixture in the Derby. I mean, what do you think of the scheduling?
Yeah, I mean, the last 30 minutes in this game, I could kind of feel the travel and the game that we had a couple of days ago. But it's, you know, we're soccer players and we love playing games. That's, you know, that's much more fun than training all the time. So I enjoy it. Difficult to play here. I think in the end, we're kind of happy with 1 point. They're a good team and a playoff team usually. So we had our chances and they had theirs. I think it was an entertaining game for the crowd. So it's, you know, we're happy with that 1 point and right now we're just going to focus on next game, and that's going to be a huge game. Hopefully we're going to fill up the stadium and win that game if we can.
Talk about Mixed Lids, your hat company, and where people can grab them, and why you started a company like that.
Mixlids.com is the website where I sell hats. It's more for fun. A lot of people actually are buying it much more than I thought they were going to do. I think they think the logo is pretty cool. And I did a collaboration with New Era. So growing up, I was a hat guy, and the Yankee logo was, the coolest for me. And now I actually play Yankee Stadium, and New Era wanted to do a collaboration with me. So went with the designers, made a Mixed logo, and I'm very happy with the results. So check it out. Yeah, mixlids.com.
I mean, most people wear a hat to cover a bald spot or something like that. You don't have that issue. And I think your team itself doesn't have that issue because you guys got some sweet hair on your team, period. I mean, I think you guys spent like 5 minutes in front of the mirror today. Who's got the best hair on New York City FC?
Wow, we got a lot of different hairstyles. I got to say that. Some people have long hair with Tommy, myself, and Eric, and Pirlo. And then you got the Mikey Lopez, Kyrie, and everything like that. So what do you think? Who has the best hair?
I don't know, man. You are up there. Andrea, though, it's some tough competition you got.
He's got some good hair. He's got some good hair. Right now it's wet, so he doesn't look. Davide's also got some good hair.
Yeah, he does. Your hair.
And David Villa, as you heard there, walking by just as Marco and Mix are discussing all the wonderful things of New York City hair. And so if you want to check it out, it's actually pretty funny. Check it out on our YouTube page, TFC Pitchside, and Mix Discaroot. Very generous with his time to do that, and his hair looks glorious in the video. I will say that. So TFC finished with that 1-1 draw. They've now got, one win in their last four games. Not great, especially when you consider that this is a four-game homestand. Michael Bradley, and more unlikely that Jovinko's going to Euro, I still think, but he could go. So this is this Columbus game is the last time you will see Michael Bradley for a little while as he goes away to the Copa America Centenario. It's huge. I think it's really big. It's not a must win by any stretch, but you certainly got to get a win. We'll preview that a little bit further in just a second. Dan Riccio, this is the TFC Pitchside match preview. And it's always a fun week when MLS releases its salaries for all of their players. It's kind of awkward for guys like us who are around these players all the time. I think producer Bozy agrees with that. Yeah, 100%. So we know Sebastian Giovinco, he's making over 7. Bradley's at 6.5. Altidore at 4.825. And TFC is the largest payroll in all of Major League Soccer. Cue the jokes. They haven't won anything, blah, 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 blah. But again, 2014 with Defoe, that was a lost year. You can't do anything about that. And last year was trying to rebuild everything that they lost after the Defoe year. And now, if you hear from Patrick Vieira and you hear from Carl Robinson, who was on our show last Monday, there's a lot of coaches around Major League Soccer that believe TFC is one of the best in the league and is probably going to be one of the serious contenders in the Eastern Conference. Some notes that I kind of came out of seeing the salaries. Benoit Cheyroux is a hair over $250,000. Right now, it's hard to quantify his value because he's been injured. But I think, especially over this next month or so, as Cheyroux gets healthier, he's going to be a big part of TFC's midfield, and they're going to need him as much as possible. Ashton Morgan stood out a little bit. He's making $120,000, but I think we're all forgetting that he's probably not up against the cap. Doesn't count against the cap because of the homegrown deal thing. Maybe once he does start counting against the cap, that might be when we see Ashton Morgan's TFC career end, unfortunately. Not making any, brash, bold statements with that. I think that's just the reality of the situation. Although I do think Ash is really, really quality depth in this league for a player like Justin Morrow. But TFC, if you look at the numbers and you break down the salary cap and how little it is, they're spending a lot of money on fullbacks, and I don't know if they can continue doing that going forward. Damien Perquis, he's pretty much, he's a designated player. He's essentially a designated player at over $400,000. And again, Parakeet's great, but when he has his bad games, he's really bad, and that number stands out when you consider the salary cap troubles the TFC currently have. Eric Zavaleta.
Eric, what's thought?
I mean, Eric.
I just don't
want to be too hard on the guy. It's not his fault that he's getting paid this much. Somebody offered him that deal, and TFC picked him up. But it is what it is, and you're basically giving this guy $140K, which is a decent chunk of salary with how little the salary cap is in MLS, and he's essentially a nothing player. Like, he's not getting in over Nick Haglund, who's been playing with TFC too. You know, Clément Simonin, when he comes back, I believe he's ahead of Eric Zavaleta on the depth chart. I just don't think he's an MLS quality player. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude. I hope to be proven otherwise with all of these young guys, but that's just what I've seen from Zavaleta so far, and that's kind of what I gather from talking to people around the club. So that's an interesting one. I don't know how you get rid of him. Yeah, maybe he's somebody that you don't protect in the expansion draft next offseason, but is anybody going to pick him up? I mean, I doubt it. As for the new look defense and the new look players, Drew Moore, $250K, Beta Shore, just under 250, and Will Johnson, just under 400. So yeah, TFC bolstered their defense and got a lot of things that they really needed, but that's the reason why you see the bench the way it is, especially against New York City, where there's not a lot of options. The depth is just, especially in attack, is just not there, and it's not going to be there because of how much money they've spent on reworking the defense. And TFC going to have to deal with that in the years to come. We'll discuss more of this on Monday, I believe, with Thomas Michalakos. Maybe take his thoughts, maybe do a little bit more in depth on what it looks like around the league compared to TFC as well. As for the goods, this is a match preview, so let's preview this match. Trillium Cup, leg number 1 of 3 on the season, and TFC ride into this first leg of the Trillium Cup, having won just once in their last 4 games. Most recently, as you heard me just say, a 1-1 draw with New York City FC on Wednesday. Columbus, meanwhile, they're still reeling from having to trade away their top player, Kai Kamara. Life without Kai began last week as they collected a 1-1 draw home to Colorado. Some guy named Cedric. Just one name. I don't know who he is. Maybe I should. But Cedric scored the goal for Columbus. I am being a bit facetious. They have just 10 points on the season due the Columbus Crew and Ola Kamara. So they're not going too far away from the Kamaras. The Columbus Kamaras continue. Just now that Ola Kamara is playing striker for Columbus Crew. Wrap your head around that. It's difficult. Injuries. TFC, Marky Delgado. You know, every time I listen back to this in the car, like to kind of do like an air check.
Yeah.
Every time I listen to this and I hear these sirens, I'm like, whoa, do I got to pull over? Where is he? And then I realize, okay. right. That's producer Bozy. So injuries, as we know, Marky Delgado, he's going to remain out with that hamstring strain, though. Greg Vanney says he's very close to returning, so probably back in the lineup ahead of New York Red Bull in Jersey next weekend, as is Jozy Altidore. He's not going to be ready next weekend, but he is out with that hamstring injury, as we know. Jonathan Osorio, he will be made available for the match following an ankle injury scare versus Vancouver last Saturday. Believe that Benoit Cheru is inching closer to returning as well to the lineup. Columbus, they have questionable D-man Tyson Wall and midfielder and former TFC man himself as well. Tony Chani is questionable for this game. I always kind of wonder, and you can tweet me at DataRicho590, like Chani's turned into a pretty quality MLS player. And when he was with TFC, he kind of seemed like nothing. But now he's like, he recently got called up to the Cameroon national team, did participate in the U.S. national team camp in January, but ended up playing for Cameroon anyways. So it's kind of an interesting situation where he's not a a fantastic midfielder, but he's a quality midfielder, I think. And while TFC, 2011, he only had a handful of appearances anyways. But that's an interesting one, because nobody ever really talks about him as being a former TFC guy. He's developed really, really well in Columbus. Referee for the match, don't normally do this, but I was intrigued when I found out Nima Sagafi is going to officiate this game between TFC and Columbus. He's ref just two games in MLS so far in his illustrious refereeing career. In those games, he's given one red card and two penalties. Second straight Saturday with a rookie ref, though. Robert Sibiga, I think I'm getting that right, was quite good managing TFC and Vancouver last Saturday. That I thought he was. He didn't really make any bad decisions in that game. And he was only, I think that was his seventh match in his MLS career prior to TFC and Vancouver last Saturday. All right, let's take you down to the training ground. And Greg Vanney was discussing all things TFC and took kind of long today. He took a little bit longer after Drew Moore and Justin Morrow spoke to us gathering media hordes. But one thing I wanted to talk about Vanney, because I was really intrigued. I've been really intrigued with how well the offense has played recently. And aside from the Vancouver game, it hasn't really shown up on the score sheet. And this goes all the way back to Portland, when that New Zealand keeper kept them out at will and had the game of his life. And then, you know, Dallas, they had a ton of chances, could have won that game 4-5-0. And obviously Josh Saunders the other night, TFC could have had 3 or 4 goals there. So here is Greg Vanney on having to watch on as pretty much every goalie TFC faces has the game of his life.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'll speak on Josh in particular. I've known Josh for a long time. He seems to have his best games against us, and I'm taking it personal now. But, yeah, I mean, you know, part of it is the keepers are having good games. We're putting the balls just close enough in, you know, in some aspects where they can actually make the save. If they're a little lower or a little wider or a little something else, do they go the back of net? Maybe. So, but yeah, keepers have had very good performances against us. We could maybe be just a touch sharper in some of those moments. But, you know, when those two things are happening at the same time, then the goals aren't going in quite as often as you'd like. But I think we've created chances. We've created good enough chances in every one of these games to win. Even in the game that we lost 4-3, we created enough chances still to win that game 6-3 or something else. I don't know. But so we're creating. It's about now the finishing touch and rewarding ourselves for some of that good play. You know, yeah, that's important.
Now, he says, I think we've been creating chances. Here's a stat that tells you that TFC know they're doing a lot of things right now, and maybe they're just getting a little bit unlucky. TFC's expected goals at home right now during this homestand is at 1.98. That's really good to be scoring nearly 2 goals a game in that category. Expected goals against, that sits just over a half goal per game. So they've been really unlucky to only have 4 points so far. But at the same time, some of that is self-inflicted with the individual errors that were made against Vancouver. And also, it's a bit of unluckiness. Like Wednesday night, New York City had 2 chances. The really good chance they had, they didn't score on. Poku scores a beautiful goal. And as I said, there's some things to work on defensively there. But at the same time, it's still a beautiful goal. And if Poku hits that shot 10 more times, he might not score it again. As for, you know, against Vancouver, you guys all saw it. There was a lot of individual mistakes, but also some really good individual play from Vancouver's players. And I think that these two things kind of go hand in hand. TFC really creating a lot of chances right now. A lot of that is, of course, because you have Sebastian Giovinco on the team. But maybe the goals start falling pretty soon on a more consistent basis. Because outside of the Vancouver game, it's just been one goal, and that's how they win. A lot of 1-0s. As for Drew Moore, he though he is a defender, he opined on maybe some ways that TFC can get more into the back of the net, and he says this is going to be a key for them going forward.
Yeah, set plays are always important, I think. And really, you know, I think you have 5 defenders available or on the bench because of some injuries, and which happens over the course of the season. So, it doesn't change much how we game plan, how we go into the match. It might change things once, you know, we're in the 60th, 70th minute, depending on fatigue on the field or the subs that you can make. But set pieces are always important, and when you can get some big defenders in there that, listen, you know, Seba's going to score his fair share of goals, and we're going to get goals from our creative attacking players, but it is important that the defense chips in on the amount of set pieces that we have. I think we should have more goals off set pieces, because I think we had 9 or 10 corners last Wednesday night, and we scored off a set piece, but it was a second phase one. And but that's important. We have to be dangerous on those, and we have to be good on them defensively as well.
TFC so far this season have one goal from an indirect free kick. That was Damian Parkey in New York at Yankee Stadium, and the other one coming off of a corner. So yeah, they're not doing a whole lot off of those opportunities, and Drew Moore was the one who got the goal off the corner against Vancouver. Hasn't been a goal come from a cross, although, you know, the one against New York the other night kind of came from a cross from Mo Babouli, and then obviously Josh Williams saved it, and easy pickings for Will Johnson. So something that TFC is looking to work at and maybe create more opportunities that way. And finally, the last piece of noting and audio that we have from the Kia training grounds today. It was a big topic, and it's going to be Kai Kamara. He does move the needle quite a bit. And Columbus, interestingly enough, they do have to change a little bit of the way they play without Kai Kamara. So here is Greg Vanney on how Columbus has changed without Kai Kamara, and if it's maybe a benefit that he's not going to be in the lineup come tomorrow.
I don't know. Every time we say we're catching a break, it hasn't actually worked out for us. So I'm going to say no, and we need to play. They're a very good team, right? Even Kai, when he scored goals for them, a lot of his goals were team-created goals, right? And so it's not like Kai is the guy who's dribbling around everybody and creating these great individual goals on his own. They're not. Even his goals, 22 of them last year, 99% of them were team-created goals. So we still have a lot of other people and other things with that group that we need to shut down. They're a very good team attacking group. And what they don't have is Kai is by far the best player in the air in terms of going up and winning things. And you can just hang balls up and Kai goes up higher than anybody else to get him. That's something that's different from them. But at the end of the day, they're still a very dangerous attacking team. And likewise, I've watched many of their games, and they're just at times unfortunate not to put things away, but they're creating chances. And so that's where we have to be very, very intelligent and in terms of our team defending. They're still a dangerous team.
Yeah, Columbus has 12 goals this season. Kai Kamara scored 5 of them, so he is a big part of what they were doing, and now Ola Kamara is going to have to be the guy that finishes off these plays. Did you know? And we do have some soothing music for this. 1 second. Oh, there it is. Thank you. So sometimes when we do this Do You Know segment, I like to just read right off of the Wikipedia page, and because it's always funny. And this is about the Trillium Cup and the Trillium Cup's Wikipedia page. The Trillium Cup is named after the Trillium, which is both the official flower of the Canadian province of Ontario and the official wildflower of the U.S. state of Ohio. The rivalries draw on the team's similarities. Two teams are geographically near the Great Lakes that border the United States and Canada. And both teams also play in a soccer-specific stadium. Somebody needs to update the Wikipedia page. Argos joke. The cup is awarded to the team that wins the most points from the series at the season's end. In the event of a draw on points, the first tiebreak is determined by the away goals rule. By the team with the largest overall goal differential at the conclusion of the match. The Trillium Cup was instituted in 2008, the second season of Toronto FC's play in MLS. The inaugural game of the Trillium Cup was played on March 29th, 2008, at Columbus Crew Stadium. The initial rivalry between the two Trillium teams was supported by the mayors of their respective cities. In 2008, Mayor Michael B. Coleman of Columbus And Mayor David Miller, big TFC fan, by the way, of Toronto, started a small wager on their respective teams for their first installment of the Trillium Cup. The mayor of the losing team was required to wear the winning team's jersey. And there is your Trillium Cup. Did you know? Also, that first game in 2008, it is widely remembered as like something like 2,500 TFC fans traveled by bus to Columbus. And remember, back then, I mean, Montreal was not in MLS, so Columbus was closest to TO as a rival in terms of cities and geographical closeness and stuff. But that was it. Last season, Columbus took home the Trillium Cup with a pair of 2-0 wins, the latest in October, as the Reds were fresh off qualifying for MLS playoffs and kind of didn't really show up for that game, though they probably should have, you know, acquired or secured a home playoff game, which might have helped a little bit. But that's kind of how the season finished. Crazy game in Columbus, though, is what I remember most. TFC made a trademark of slow starts last season, and they were down 3-0 to the Crew in Columbus when they came storming back.
But Jovinko has one back. Warner, they're back within one. And Toronto storming the two goals within 10 minutes of the second half. Cedric helping to clean up, but Delgado alive. Altidore draws the penalty. They've called the push on Francis. And TFC to the spot in the 88. The tying goal and the balance here in the 89. Got it. All the way back from three goals down on equal terms in the 89. And the crowd is hot.
Yeah, a bunch of homers they are in Columbus. Like, we played you some of the audio from a couple of weeks ago when the Kai Kamara blowup happened. And, you know, Montreal came back from 4-1 down. Like, they don't get up for any away goal, you know? I'm sorry, it's football. When a great goal is scored, you better get up for it, no matter who you are commentating for or doing play-by-play for. So, yeah, Josie actually did score the penalty in that game to tie it up at 3. If you are wondering if TFC ever had Josie Altidore take penalties before the Vancouver game, yes, he did. A little bit of history between the two, 25 meetings, and it's ugly for TFC, as it usually is. 5 wins, 8 draws, 12 losses, while being outscored 41-30. Columbus have 6 Trillium Cups to Toronto's 2. Do you remember when? Well, back in 2014, it was April, and the bloody big deal was still keeping TFC fans happy. And it was positive. And it was the first time that Michael Bradley was playing in a Trillium Cup game. And it was his first MLS goal.
Deep in Columbus, end of the pitch. Bradley makes a run. He'll get to this ball. Slides it in. How about that from Bradley as he slides it in from what looked like an almost impossible angle. And in the 11th, make that 12th minute. Bradley with his first for the club, and Toronto FC have the lead here in Columbus.
My good man, Dan Dunleavy, another guy just not, I love you, Dan, but you're not reaching the level that I would expect you to on a goal like that. It was a nice goal from Bradley. And then Issy Nakajima Ferran scored the next goal in that game. They won 2-0, and obviously TFC won the Trillium Cup that year later in May. I believe it was the 31st of May. And TFC got the big W, 3-2. A late goal from Daniil Henry got them the 3-2 victory after a couple of goals from Jermaine Defoe, which is why this remains my favorite Trillium Cup note of all time.
You remember which cup Jermaine Defoe won with Toronto FC?
Was it the Canadian one?
That was not correct. It's the Trillium Cup, of course.
Oh, against Columbus. Yeah. Thanks, Jermaine. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Don't even know the name of the trophy.
That was something we did on our TFC Pitchside YouTube page last year when Jermaine made his return to Toronto and was playing with Sunderland at the time. And that was pretty funny. But I want to say that same night, they were transporting the Trillium Cup out of BMO Field to go to Columbus last summer. So it, weird how things happen. Like, hey, Jermaine won one trophy with TFC, and there's the Trillium Cup packed up and ready to go to Columbus. That was a lot of fun. Finally, let's do it.
Major key alert.
Thank you, DJ Khaled. Number one, tighten up defensively, TFC. I don't know if it's the comfort of being at home or just a run of bad luck, but you got to close down your opponents when they're in and around the area. Sure, those Pedro Morales goals and Poku goals, they were beautiful, but you cannot let those shots come in. Poku, he's allowed like three touches before taking that great shot. Betashore's got to force him to the touchline. Jay Chapman, he's got to come support his defender as well. Small things, but they need tightening up. And with Ethan Finlay and Justin Miram, and of course Higuain, these are all things that have to be a priority this weekend against Columbus. Score the first goal. Seems we have to say this all the time, but TFC are pretty good when they do it. They're perfect 4-0. They are 0-4-3 when they don't score the first goal. So do that. Also, 8 of the 12 goals TFC have allowed came in the opening 30 minutes. So the start is super important for the Reds. Set pieces, as you heard Drew Moore say, this is a chance for TFC to get on the board with a set piece. And any club, they need to do that. And TFC haven't really done it a whole lot so far this year. Columbus have allowed 4 goals off crosses, 2 from corners. So that's a chance for TFC to get on the score sheet outside of the obvious with Sebastian Giovinco. Hopefully Mo Babouli gets on the score sheet as well this weekend. That would be nice to see. Good Canadian kid. And I think he's performed well so far in his first start and his limited appearances. He's just getting more and more comfortable as he goes. As for the weather at BMO Field, well, it'll be about 20 degrees and sunny, cloudy, well, a little bit of cloudage for Saturday. So that's what we're looking at, but it should be at least nice, not freezing like it was last weekend against Vancouver. And that'll do it for us. This has been a bit longer than usual. There was a lot to get to with the midweek game, though, at TFC. They finish up their 4-game homestand with this first leg of the Trillium Cup tomorrow at BMO Field. I'm Dan Riccio. This has been TFC Pitch Side. We take you out with the Ohio Players. As they are on fire.
Sets me off to a full alarm.